I'm going to hit record.
I'm trying to help.
Thanks.
Try to keep the numbers even.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay, I think that's most people, Sarah.
All right, so do you want to go take it away, Matt and Emily?
Okay, I will, yeah, I can start, and then Emily, jump in if you want. So this, again, this is just a little bit of just a side discussion for working group members after the presentations. As Sarah mentioned, we do have the largest work group we have going right now. So usually we just keep it all as one big group and have a discussion, but given the 60 odd or whatever number of people it was that are still on here, we thought it'd be nicer to kind of allow for a little bit more discussion among everybody. So I'll just kick it off quickly. I mean, this is really for all of you to kind of add your input, add your thoughts. So I'm not going to monopolize this time by any means. But I just wanted to get any initial thoughts that the folks on the call or at the meeting had to the presentations that were given. Any, the ideas that were presented. We do have Dawn in this group with us, and I did put Bill in the other one, so I think we separated the two presenters, so we have some expertise here from Dawn. Thank you, Dawn, for staying on and staying with us. I thought it was a great presentation, both of them. We did like the fact that we had kind of an inland flooding issue and a coastal flooding issue to present to you all. We thought it kind of hit two of the four topics that we really wanted to, but I'll turn it over now to anyone that wants to unmute and either give some thoughts, ask some questions, or get anything you might think is, that would be applicable to work that you do, or any difficulties you might have implementing similar types of projects. So I just want to open up to anyone that might maybe want to speak. Mary, go ahead, please.
The Meriden project is particularly interesting because we work in the North Branch of the Park River in Hartford, so inland flooding. And I have two questions. One, I feel like the coastal communities have gotten a lot of attention, a lot of support, especially a lot of funding that's very motivating. But I wonder what is the percentage of those kind of Meriden projects to the New Haven projects? Are they, from Deep's perspective, does anybody know? So that's my first question. And then the second question is, how do you get those elected officials or actually the city staff to be so on board with motivating these projects or going for these projects? Do you think these are unique situations? Like, for instance, Meriden used to have the Termaine Foundation. Of course, New Haven has the Yale community. Is there a cultural dimension to the success of these projects?
So I guess I'll start, and I don't know if Sarah has any of the breakdown of funding, but I would say, certainly there has been a larger proportion of funding going to coastal work in the state of Connecticut. Some of that is predicated by the fact that some of the funding is only available to coastal municipalities, especially after Sandy and Irene. There was a lot of money, and a lot of it was pretty. Required to be utilized along the coast, although some of the planning efforts did extend through all of Fairfield and Greenhaven counties. So you did get a lot of some inland work from that. The National Disaster Resiliency Competition, which Circa is running, again, was a coastal focused project, but it also allowed for resiliency planning across all of Fairfield and Greenhaven counties. So there was a lot of inland work on heat islands and rainfall and those sorts of things. My hope is for the non emergency specific funding projects that there is going to be more of a mix of inland and coastal projects both being applied for and moving forward, because we do know that there is obviously a significant impact across the entire state of flooding And there's significant impact from the inland municipalities on the coastal municipalities as water flows towards Long Island Sound one way or another. So I do think they're certainly interconnected to each other. And some of it's just a result of the funding that was available. But I do know that we, you know, with some of these short intensity or short duration, high intensity storms we've had inland have kind of raised the understanding of the needs of inland communities recently. So I'm hoping that will kind of catalyze some additional thought and projects like the Meriden project along across inland municipalities. But that's my spiel on it. But Dawn, I guess the second part of the question I think would be good for you to kind of how New Haven has continued to move this project forward. From it's kind of the green infrastructure piece, the living shoreline piece, the bioswales, the hard infrastructure. I mean, it's a lot, and I know you all. I've been talking with you for years on this. I know you've been working on it for a long time, and I think just a comment maybe on how you've kept the momentum going, I think would be great.
Yeah, thanks. That was a very interesting. I'm really mulling over that question. Giovanni isn't here. I think he's a big element of it. He's been with the city for, you know, 15 years. He started in what was the Office of Sustainability. We both, you know, as the city engineer and assistant city engineer, have civil environmental engineering backgrounds. So I do think that Giovanni and then me starting with him when he became city engineer really, you know, just promote that culture of sustainability and really see that as a very important part of this, not just, you know, icing on the cake or, you know, it's like we also have really sandy soils in New Haven, right? So our infiltration rates are like out of this world. Like, you know, the Connecticut Stormwater Manual has 5 inches an hour max as your infiltration rate that you should account for. And we have developers coming to us with 40, 50, 100 inches per hour. I mean, it's like dumping water on a beach. So not every area, but I would say a really good portion of New Haven is very sandy. And so that actually is probably, at least for the, you know, the bioswale work, has been a real asset. And we do partner with the Yale School of the Environment to do research on them to prove that they're working. And so that also has shown, you know, performance, even though we can, you anecdotally, we also now have some quantitative data behind that. So, you know, and then these are just, I mean, these are real economic challenges. So, I mean, getting the rest of the city on board, it's just, I mean, the flooding is impacting so many people in so many places that, you know, it almost can't be ignored. And it's happening so frequent at this point. Actually, when I started, it was a drought for a couple of years. And I was like, what is all this talk of this flooding? And then once it started, it was like multiple events a year. And then I was very surprised.
Yeah, and just to add, this is perspective from everywhere else I've been. I'm relatively new to Connecticut. I moved here in January. But nationally, where you start seeing these projects, like Meriden's project, like New Haven's project, it's because they've experienced it. And so if a place hasn't had that experience, or the experience hasn't been as disruptive yet, that hasn't come into the point of, oh, we need to plan for this, or we need to prepare for this. And so, as Matt stated, like, you know, you're starting to see more of that recognition as we're starting to see more of these extreme events, then that draws people into going, okay, we need to do something about this. And that's some of the momentum that we're hoping to capture through the Deep Climate Resilience Fund is helping communities that have never really had the opportunity to plan, especially if they're not coastal and they've just not had access to a lot of that money. This is offering that opportunity to begin planning.
And you got to find champions, you know, you got to find the people that like really want to push this along.
Can I just piggyback off of that? I'm Amber Jard. I work in the Yale Office of Sustainability, so I'm actually very familiar with Dawn's work and so excited to see her talking about it. And I will just say, you know, as a separate member of the New Haven community and part of a large organization, and as Giovanni pointed out, we're not necessarily seeing the same impacts on our campus that other parts of New Haven are, but we are fully aware that we are a major contributor by being upstream. So right now we're working on actually a university-wide stormwater management plan to try to mitigate our contributions to that. And I'm wondering if there's opportunities to work with the city more closely to scale that up and make models that could then be possible to replicate in other municipalities or other places around the state, if there's opportunities to connect with other organizations that contribute to municipal footprints in terms of stormwater or other things. Just one other piece on that I wanted to mention is, you know, the bioswale installations, if I'm not mistaken, many of those were installed by the Urban Resources Institute, which is a nonprofit in New Haven that has a really fabulous mission. And a lot of the folks that are doing that work are actually people who have a history of incarceration or kind of come from more vulnerable communities. And so I'm just wondering, Dawn, like as you're, sorry to catch you off guard there, but I'm just wondering, like as you were putting together the funding proposals and whatnot, do those co-benefits of like workforce development for more vulnerable populations or the co-benefits of who we're working to, choosing to work with, do those factor in? And can you think about kind of the bigger picture impacts beyond just the engineering of some of this?
That's a really interesting question. So in our early development of bioswales, I mean, URI has been a key partner. They and Emerge, and they installed our first bioswale, right? And then for the first grants that we got when we were kind of in the prototype, like testing out this technology throughout in New Haven, yes, it was a very key component. They involved Emerge, who works with the reentry population, prison population. They worked with Common Ground high schoolers. They reached out to homeowners. So they did a lot of outreach, a lot of working with different stakeholders. So that was very important in our first grants. When we were building with the CDBG-DR funding, now we're talking about just regular procurement, regular low bid, you know. And so unfortunately, I wasn't actually able to say that I wanted URI to build these for all these co-benefits. We actually kind of got lucky, and if you think about it, they're a nonprofit, so they're not, you know, so they came in lower than others, but not by so much. And so we were kind of fortunate that they did win the bid and we did achieve those co-benefits. We also designed intentionally to allow for low-skill labor to be able to build these, and I could have a whole other discussion on that. We're happy to share our standard designs to anyone who wants them.
Yeah, that's great. I just want to just put the breakout rooms are closing in 20 seconds, just so I didn't want anyone to be cut off in the middle of speaking. The one thing I would say, Dawn, that we've run into with some of the bioswale and green infrastructure is just the upkeep and maintenance. Is that something being done by the city or are there other groups? And you have 8 seconds, sorry.
We have a contract with URI to continue to do that work.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all very much. So I wouldn't have more time, but appreciate everyone.